Welcome to Momentum Magnet, a podcast to inspire your growth. I'm Karen Morales, and your host in helping you find ways to make positive changes for your business, health, relationships, and life. We always have a path to a happier ending, so let's get started today. Hi, happy Friday. Welcome to Momentum Magnet. We are here every week to give you tips and tricks so that you can put more momentum back into your life and business. And today we're going to talk about something that is really important to everybody that is growing a business or about to start one. It's how do people find you, which is more professionally known as search engine optimization. If we learn nothing else from 2020, we learned that the consumer expectation is being able to interact with you virtually. From our groceries to our recipes to our bicycle boot camps and our elementary school classes, everything is now delivered to us in our homes, on a device, in any time, anywhere access. In so many ways, at least for myself personally, it has made everything that we do easier. But at the same time, as a brand and a business, it means you're fighting for attention. There are more people on the web looking at you and your competitors, and you need to be found. So today I invited Danielle Gagnon to come and talk to us about all things SEO. After years of working as both a journalist and a marketing manager, she started her own business doing SEO for entrepreneurs in 2018. She is the creator of the Content Cash Machine Bootcamp, a 5-day mini course that teaches business owners highly actionable SEO basics. And she's going to get on today and give us her best tips and tricks so that you can add more oomph to your website. Hey, Danielle, how are you?
I am great. Super excited to be here.
Yes, I know. And this is such an important topic. And as we were discussing prior to the start of the episode, one of the things that you hear most often is people come to you and say, Danielle, I know this is really important, this SEO thing, but I'm overwhelmed and I don't know where to start. Can you help us just set a baseline understanding for people, whether they're an expert or a novice? What is SEO and why is it important?
Yes, definitely. So you're right. That is something that I hear all the time. It's one of those things that everybody realizes it's something they should pay attention to, but they don't know where to start. It feels really overwhelming. A lot of times it feels really technical and like you're going to need all kinds of specialized skills in order to make it work. And one of the things that I love to talk about and teach about is that it is nowhere near as hard as it sometimes seems, which is usually gets a big sigh of relief when I say that, because at the end of the day, SEO really is just the strategies that you can use to connect the right people, the people that need the content that you're creating, that need the services that you're offering or the products that you're offering, and connect them with your website, right? So at the end of the day, it really just comes down to figuring out what people are already online searching for related to whatever it is that you do, and then creating content that serves those searches, that answers their questions, that uses the same sort of language that they're using when they're heading to Google or whatever search engine they're using to look for something. And I think that's really the biggest thing to understand. It really just comes down to figuring out what people are looking for and then creating content that serves that.
And I think you're hitting on a really important point, because I still think there's a little bit of misconception in the industry. The search engine optimization that was 10 years ago is not the search engine optimization that is today. So when this whole practice really started, it was making sure that your website was findable if they typed in the exact words of your website into the Google or the Yahoo or whatever the search engine was of the moment. So it's really that reactive search. But yes, what Danielle is talking about and where we really want to switch the focus today in your minds as a business is the baseline expectation is that if somebody types in the words of your business, you can find it. So that is like SEO 101, right? Mm-hmm. But what you're talking about is making sure that your brand shows up when you're talking about the things that you do. So can you talk a little bit about that difference? Because I think it's really important. And I think there's a lot of entrepreneurs that don't get that difference.
Yeah, I think you're right. And this is something that I end up talking about a lot. A lot of times we do things a little backwards, or at least what I view as backwards. So we create our content for our website. Maybe we're even blogging, or we're podcasting and putting, you know, short blogs together for that. We figure out what we're going to write about. And then we go back and try to do some keyword research to see, okay, what words are people looking for that I could sneak into this content? That's certainly one way of doing things. What I try to teach people is to actually do it the other way around. Yes, you know, you have a general idea what you want to be writing about, what sorts of topics you want to be creating content around, but really doing the keyword research first, figuring out what people are searching for, what questions they have, what problems they're trying to solve, what solutions they're looking for, and then taking that information and creating your content based off of that. One of my favorite strategies to teach people, especially people who are blogging or just getting into blogging, is to go in and just start searching around in Google. You guys have probably all seen this before. There's the people also ask section in Google results that will show up, and it will show questions that people have asked related to whatever it is that you typed into Google. All of those questions are things that people are searching for on Google right now. Make yourself a big list of questions, and that can give you like a year of blog post topics that people are already searching for. And when you start to do things that way, so that you're basing your content off what people are already looking for online, you can feel a lot more confident that the content you're creating is actually going to serve you in terms of driving more traffic to your site, because you're not just writing about any old thing and hoping people are looking for it or hoping it's something that people want. You actually know that there are already people looking for that right now.
That's a perfect example. So let's just pretend I'm starting a dog training business because, you know, pandemic puppies are a big thing this year.
Yes.
So before I rewrote my website or rebranded, you would want me to go in and find out, like, what are those questions people have about dog training? And then talk us through how that would translate into my new web strategy.
Yeah, that's a great question. So yes, I would recommend you can just go into Google and start playing around with it. So start typing things into the search bar as if you were a consumer, as if you were your ideal client or your ideal customer. That's one way of doing things. You can use a keyword research tool. Google Keyword Planner is a great one. I really love Uber Suggest by Neil Patel. That's another great one where you can see actual data, how many people are searching for these things every month, how competitive it is, so how many other websites are trying to rank for the same keyword. And that can be really helpful to sort of figure out the best words and phrases or the best questions to use on your site. And then from there, I would just go through, sort of map out the pages that you think you want for your website. So typically you'd have a homepage, an about page, at least one services page, a contact page, like at a very, very basic level. That would tend to be the main content of your website. Go through that keyword list and figure out which keywords apply best to those different pages of your site. So for example, if you're doing virtual dog training, you'll want to, perhaps your homepage is more of those general keywords like virtual dog training, virtual puppy courses, that sort of thing. Maybe your about page focuses on keywords like online dog trainers or keywords like that. And then you can take the questions that you're seeing people asking. So things like, how do I potty train my puppy, or whatever they call it when it's puppy. I have toddlers, so I'm just thinking potty
thing.
Training.
I think it's the same
Is
thing.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
How do I, you know, get my puppy to stop chewing on everything? And you can turn that into, you know, whatever is going to feel best for you. So I like to recommend either blog posts, or for people who blogging feels like a lot of commitment and a lot of work, then just creating like an educational section or an informational section of your site where you can have some static web pages that answer those common questions, like an FAQ page, or just, you know, different pages of educational content that are answering those questions that people are asking, and just create the content that answers those questions. So it's super basic. It's really not that complicated. And yes, there's like all kinds of other strategies that can go into SEO as well. But just doing that, just doing the keyword research and then creating the content to serve the searches that people are already performing every day is going to put you way ahead of the game.
That's a great sense. And I haven't heard someone explain it so simply in that, you know, every page has a lot of different types of keyword research around it. That's a great way to sort of maximize your triple threat, quadruple threat, depending upon how many pages you have. So one of the questions I get asked a lot, and I never have a great answer to, so I'm hoping maybe you do, is how do I know if my website is doing a good job with SEO?
Yes, I get that question a lot. And it's one of my favorite things to talk about because I love digging into data and numbers. I don't know what happened to me. I was definitely the kid in high school that was like, I'm never going to use math again in my life. but here
practical
I am using
math. Is way different than the math with all the squiggly lines and the cuckoo stuff you learn. I always tell my kids that. I'm like, practical math makes sense. Like statistics makes sense.
Exactly. I've definitely never used calculus in my regular life.
Actually, when I was taking calculus in high school, I raised my hand because it was beyond me. And I said, when am I ever going to use this? My teacher looked at me and he said, Karen, if you need to calculate the curvature of your swimming pool, you would use calculus. And I said, I would hire somebody to do that.
Yes.
So basically, I will never use this again.
Yes. I
that
remember
was
thinking
I was like,
the same thing.
Okay, sorry. That was a side note.
No.
But tell us.
It's okay. I remember thinking the same thing. So there are two primary tools that I recommend that every single person with a website should have set up for their website. One is Google Analytics, which I think a lot of people tend to have that set up. Not everybody, though. Google Analytics is really, really great. Google Analytics will show you what is happening with your website when people get there. So it will show you where traffic is coming from, whether that's organic search, whether it's different social media sites or other websites referring content to your site. And it will also show you what the traffic, what those people are doing when they get to your site. So what pages are they looking at? How long are they spending on different pages of your site? You can even do things like, what are they clicking on? Which pages are they, you know, going to before they make a purchase? You can get super in the weeds with all the data that you can see there. But then there's another tool, Google Search Console, which is really, really important if you're going to be focusing on search engine optimization to have connected to your site. So the difference between analytics and Search Console is that Google Search Console specifically shows you how your website is performing in search engines. So you'll be able to see what keywords your website is ranking for, what position they're ranking for. So are you showing up in like the fifth spot in search results for this keyword or the 55th spot? And you'll be able to track that over time. So as you optimize different pages or blog posts on your website for specific keywords, you can actually track and see, am I going up in the search rankings? Am I appearing higher in search results? Am I getting more clicks as a result? Am I getting more impressions? And so it's a really, really, really valuable tool to see how you're actually performing in search.
Are there any benchmarks for someone that's like, okay, I am pausing this episode right now and I'm going over to Google Search Console and Google Analytics and I'm checking out my data? For the average bear, how do they have any sense of what's good or what does good look like? Is that possible?
It's really hard because it is really relative. Every industry is so different. Every type of business is so different. Every market is different, right? So like a local-based business who serves one specific town, for example, they may only get, let's say, 75 organic visits to their website every month, but they may convert a ton of that traffic and have plenty of clients and plenty of business and do really, really well with that amount of traffic. Whereas for an e-commerce site, 75 visits to their website is probably not doing very much at all for them. So it is very relative. What I always tell people is to like not worry too much about where you're at right now. Just get a picture of where you're at right now so that you have that before picture. I always say you would never go get a makeover without taking a before picture. And you should not give your website a makeover without taking that before picture too. So if you don't have those tools set up, get them set up. Let a little bit of data populate in them because they don't take anything historical. They'll only start calculating information for you from the point you set it up forward. So get those set up. Let at least like a few weeks go by, preferably a month, so you have a full month of data. And then just make sure you understand where you're at now. You can export all kinds of information from them, so you don't necessarily have to like fully dive into it at the moment. But get that before picture so that you can see which pages of my site are performing well. You may find that, you know, one page of your site or one blog post is getting, you know, hundreds of views every month already. And then you can sort of dig in and see, okay, what did I do with this blog post that is performing so well that I could replicate this across my other pages? So I think really just figuring out where you're at now so that you have something to compare it to as you continue to work forward, because the actual numbers really will vary a lot. And I think people generally have a good sense of like, am I happy with the level of business I have right now? Or am I consistently struggling to get clients and consistently searching for new leads everywhere? That's a good sign that probably SEO is something that you could focus on. Because it's one of those things that can just, once you really nail it, you can start consistently getting leads through your website without having to do all of that struggle every single month.
Yeah, that's really, really important. So when you're talking to clients, how much time needs to be spent on their ongoing SEO strategy? So when they're sitting down, how much effort a week are they spending on creating new content for their website? And how much is done on your owned property? Or how much are you trying to get your name out to other places so that it drives traffic back?
That's a really good question. And that is another one that it will vary a little bit depending on your business and the industry and all of that. But in general, what I usually do with my clients is we usually spend a good amount of time upfront. So doing the research, seeing what their website's doing now, doing a bunch of keyword research to see what people are looking for, and then completely optimizing, you know, their core website pages so that their website is fully optimized, good to go. And then we'll start focusing on some of that other content, whether it's blog posts, whether it's additional like educational or informational pages that they're adding to their site. And then on an ongoing basis, it's really going to vary based on the business. Some businesses will have a blog, and if you have a blog, I recommend posting at the very least once a month. More is great, but
not once a week. I thought it was, what does that change? Do the algorithm things change all the time? Like, I never know what the right answer to that question is.
No. So here's the thing about blogging. lots of people will still say once a week. Once a week is great. If you can do once a week, that's amazing. But lots and lots of business owners, you tell them blog once a week and they're not going to do it at all. And so I always tell people, start with once a month. Just get once a month down, like get to the point where you can do that. It's not going to hurt you to only blog once a month. It may not have quite the same effect as once a week, but it's not going to hurt you as long as you're blogging monthly so that Google can tell and humans can tell that you're active, you're in there, you're adding new content. That is a great place to start. And then eventually you can, you know, get your systems down so that you can start blogging more or outsource so that someone can do it for you. But I say once a month at least, because it just feels a lot more accessible to people and less overwhelming. And I would rather they get started than never start because it feels like too much.
And that's really the case, right? I mean, so many times in marketing, people tackle the world. It's the same when you start out, you know, your new year thinking that you're going to do 75 hard and you haven't worked out in 5 years. I mean, yeah. You know, some people are ballers and they can go from 0 to 75 right out of the gate. But most of us are people that want to feel successful. And when you feel like you're failing from the get-go, I see more breakage and more people quit because they've tackled something too challenging. And I'm the queen of this. I don't know if you've experienced this in your life, but I'm not one who's very patient. So my natural reaction is to always want to go big mm-hmm. with everything. Yep. And it's been one of the most successful things in my own business to talk myself back, to say, small steps forward and consistency. I mean, I know that we just tried, and I think it's the same with content, of doing the $1.80 strategy with social media for a couple clients, right? And it is small daily growth, but commenting on other people's posts every single day works. It's slow and steady, but I'm finally seeing the positive trajectory for myself and some brands by just piloting that consistency. And I think the same thing is for blogging.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I totally agree.
If you are wanting to be a blogger, right, and you're sitting there thinking, writing scares me, what's your feeling on outsourcing? Do you think that that makes sense? Is that a good strategy for someone who's a little bit scared about writing?
I would say absolutely. I mean, of course, I do this for my work. So, of course, I'm like, sure, outsource. It's great. But I do genuinely think that that can be a really great path for people. I think my advice would be that if you're going to outsource blogging, make sure that the person that you hire either has a background in SEO and knows how to do that side of things for you, or make sure that you yourself or someone on your team is taking whatever they write and optimizing it for search. The last thing I ever want to see someone do is invest either time or money into blogging and not have it be well optimized for search, because I don't want to say it's a complete waste of time, because it's still giving you content. It's still giving you content you can use in other ways, like turning it into social media posts and all of that. But it's not going to have the same level of impact as it could if you focused on SEO when blogging. So definitely make sure that you have someone who understands search engine optimization, or like I said, that you're taking whatever that person writes and that someone on your team is optimizing it for search.
Wonderful. So for somebody that's listening, and you've given us a lot of great tips, and if they're sitting there and saying, oh gosh, I need to do all the things, where would you start? What's the first step they can take today to start making progress with their SEO?
Yeah, good question. So very first thing I would say is go set up those Google tools I mentioned, Analytics and Search Console, so they'll start collecting some data for you if you don't have those set up already. Very easy to set up. Just Google how to set them up and you'll find it no matter what web platform you use. And so get that out of the way. That'll take you like 5 to 10 minutes. From there, I would start by doing some keyword research. So, and actually, back up. Before you do the keyword research, make sure that you are super, super clear on who it is that you want to be reaching with your content, who your ideal client or customer is, or your ideal audience. That is something that a lot of times people have a general idea, or they think they're pretty clear on it. But if you haven't gone through the exercise of really figuring out who that person is, what their problems are, why they need your product or your service, then make sure you do that first, because that impacts how someone searches. It impacts what problems they have. It impacts what solutions they need. Like for example, I typically am working with a lot of local based business owners. So I'm not going to go out and start creating content about, you know, how to drive like thousands of views to your online program, because that's not something my people really care about. It's related to SEO, but it's not related to the specific audience that I tend to create content for. And that same idea can apply to any business. So make sure that you're really, really clear on who you're trying to reach first. And then go out and start doing some keyword research, whether you're just playing around with the predictive search in Google, where you start typing in some words related, you know, to your service and see what pops up that Google is suggesting for you, or you're using a keyword research tool like Google Keyword Planner or Uber Suggest to actually see data related to those keywords. Start there, because that is really going to lay the foundation for everything else you do, all the content that you create, and the content that you update on your site as well.
So you take entrepreneurs through a process in your workshop. So can you talk a little bit about, when people work with you, what are all of the things that you teach them about SEO when they go through your training program?
Yeah. So the very first thing we do, we talk about the Google tools, getting set up with them, why they're important. We talk about figuring out what to look at now to see where you are at now, how to understand, you know, your current traffic and what it can tell you about how your website is performing. So that's the very first thing. Step two is getting clear on that ideal audience. So those first two things that I talked about. The next step is we talk about how to actually do keyword research. So I get in a lot more detail on, you know, the different tools you can use, the different strategies you can use to figure out what people are actually searching for related to your product or your service. And from there, we really dive into, okay, once you have the keywords, what the heck do you do with them on your website? Because that's generally the next biggest question people have. A lot of times people think, oh, I just need to, you know, plug these keywords into the like meta keyword spot on that random part of my website and I'm good to go. But there's a lot more to it than that. It's really about finding ways to use those words naturally within your content, within the actual words on the page, writing content, whether it's blog posts or content for your actual web pages, that just naturally uses those keywords within whatever it is that you're writing. And there's, you know, strategic places to put them, like the titles of your web pages, the very first paragraph of whatever the content is that you're writing is a super important place to put whatever your primary keyword is that you're trying to show up for. Putting them into your image, file names and image alt tags, making sure there's, I could go on forever about all the different specific things. But so that's really the fourth step is figuring out how to strategically then use those keywords on your site. And then the fifth step is really talking about sort of like next level stuff. What other things can you do to start driving more traffic to your site, to start getting Google to recognize your site? So for local-based businesses, it's things like setting up Google My Business and making sure that that's up to date and optimized with keywords and has accurate information. It's things like trying to get...
Another thing I would tell people to double check is a lot of people have moved their businesses home. Mm-hmm. So I updated some of my addresses to be my home address while we're living during the pandemic. Imagine the shock and awe I had in a meeting when somebody said to me, I can see your house.
Yes.
I mean, terror, right? I was like, this is freaky. And then recently I had Google say, we're coming to take pictures in your neighborhood. Do you want pictures? And I had to like say to be like, you're not taking pictures of my house, like putting it next to my business. But you really have to be careful with those things because that shifted mm-hmm. for me one day and I didn't know.
Yeah.
And it would have been, it was a harmless situation, but that could feel, it still felt very scary to me.
Yeah. Yep. I completely agree. That's definitely something to think about if you have a home-based business. And one of the things that I often see people do, if they do have like a brick and mortar location, is they'll move and they'll update their address in one place and forget to update it in other places. And that is like a surefire way to confuse Google, confuse humans, of course, too. But it's such a common mistake because, you know, your address ends up in so many different places and you think you've updated it in all the places, but if it's different in, you know, whether Google My Business, your website, your social media pages, it can just get really confusing for search engines and it can affect your ability to show up in local based searches. So it's definitely something to pay attention to, especially when you, like I said, when you have that like a brick and mortar location.
Yeah, that's great. So for someone that is interested in really taking their SEO to the next level, you've given us a lot of tips. How could they contact you, Danielle, to work with you personally or take your course?
Yeah, definitely. So the best place to engage with me, I guess, is on Instagram. That is where I am most active. My handle there is DanielleGagnon_SEO. If you're interested in the course, it's contentcashmachine.com. But my Instagram has links to that and my podcast and anything else you could ever want to link to. So...
Perfect. Well, it was an absolute joy to have you. I think you took a really complex topic and made it simple and really connected it to your consumer strategy. How do you reach the people that you serve, and what are they worried about, and what do they talk about? And that's really the driving principle for strong SEO. So I still have a landline. Do you hear that ringing in the background? I have to take that off. I have to take that off the thing because I don't think I've ever answered it. I don't know. I'm still such a relic. I feel like I have to have a phone, but given that we're all digital, maybe I don't. But thank you so much for coming today and talking to us about everything SEO.
Thank you for having me. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. So,
all right, everybody. We just closed another episode of Momentum Magnet. I'm Karen Morales, your host and founder and CEO of Marketing Magnet, a boutique marketing agency structured for Fortune 500s and growing startups to get momentum in your business fast. We are here every Friday talking about trends that matter in our lives and business. And we love to get suggestions for guests or to hear from you if you want to be one. Send us a request over at MomentumMagnet.com and make sure you leave us a review on iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Again, thank you for listening and have a great day. Thank you for listening to Momentum Magnet. We're here every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to share inspiring comeback stories. We want to hear your reviews and love getting your subscriptions on iTunes and Spotify. For show notes and past episodes, visit MomentumMagnet.com. I'm Karen Morales, keynote speaker, writer, and founder and CEO of Marketing Magnet, a fast-growing marketing agency for purpose-driven companies. Whether you are a business needing an agency, or if you are looking for weekly tips to get ahead, sign up at marketing-magnet.com to receive our weekly inspiration on getting more in your life and business.